This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Solomon Islands in the South Pacific. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs and an Australian national, is here to help me understand the challenge of the Solomon Islands, identified most recently in the Wall Street Journal as at risk from the depredations of the People's Republic of China using money, using the loan weapon to subordinate the leadership in the Solomon Islands and then to very carefully insert itself outside the first island chain and between Australia and Japan, Australia perhaps and the United States, Australia and the rest of the Indo-Pacific. I don't know, this is a big map, so I need Gregory's help. Gregory, a very good evening to you. Prime Minister Sogavare is disposed towards the People's Republic of China, at least from remarks that he's made or not made recently. I note, for example, that Wendy Sherman, Deputy Secretary of State, and Carolyn Kennedy, the new ambassador to Australia, visited the Solomon Islands on the occasion of the 80th anniversary of the landing at Guadalcanal, critical battle to claw back the Pacific from the Imperial Japanese Navy and Army. And Prime Minister Sogavare, invited, did not attend. And now we have reports of not one but two warships, a U.S. Coast Guard cutter and a British warship as well, being turned away from a port call in the Solomon Islands. From the point of view of the U.S. and the U.K., and also from the point of view of Australia, how do you measure the Solomon Islands apparently either switching side or vulnerable to Chinese manipulation? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the Solomons is obviously in a critical geopolitical location or geographic location because it is on the sea routes from eastern Australia up through to Japan, Korea, Taiwan and the like, and also in the way of Australia, US sea route. So it's critical to Australia. And of course, even more to the point, as with the Imperial Japanese participation in that area during World War II, it's critical to any moves on Australia's security. So the Solomons is primarily an Australian and New Zealand concern, and Australia and New Zealand do have a security agreement with the Solomon Islands, and in fact have been extremely helpful. I mean, during the 2019 elections, which were very favourable to Sogavare, the Australians provided about 300 personnel on the ground, I think half a dozen helicopters and a warship to help the logistics of the last election. So what we have now is a situation where, yes, the People's Republic of China has made great inroads there with Sogavare, and they poured immense amounts of money into Sogavare to distribute amongst his parliamentary colleagues in order to get this new Solomons and PRC agreement. Nonetheless, Prime Minister Sogavare is at great risk of an internal revolt and a coup, and he rightly fears that the presence of any foreign military personnel would or could trigger that against him. And this is because he said that he was going to go through Parliament to delay the 2023 elections, which could see him removed from power anyway. So he wanted to delay that. And he said that it's because the Solomons could not afford to hold the 2023 elections because they were expensive to run at the same time that they were hosting the Pacific Games, there, and the Chinese government, CGUP, has put in a lot of money to build the stadia for these games and so on. Now, quite clearly, from a constitutional point of view, the government has an obligation to run the elections. This is not an optional thing. What's optional is hosting the Pacific Games. So if you couldn't do one of those two items, you would choose to do the election and not the games. Too late for them to back out of the games now. But on the other hand, there would be a lot of international support by Australia and New Zealand in particular to help with the logistics and costs of running the election. But all of this, of course, if you go ahead with that election, then Prime Minister Sogavare probably could kiss goodbye to his re-election, assuming that he wasn't controlling how the votes were counted. We have to remember that also the Solomon Islands is a constitutional monarchy, and that the Governor General, representing the Queen, is the head of state and can say whether some legislation or actions by the government are unconstitutional or illegal. And he can then prorogue Parliament and dissolve the government and call for new elections anyway. Now, this happened, of course, during the 1980s, I think it was, in Australia, when Prime Minister Gough Whitlam could not get the passage of his finance bill through the Senate on two separate occasions. And under the Constitution, that meant that he had to resign and go back to the electorate. And he refused to do so. And the Governor General at that time called him in and said, "You have failed to meet the constitutional requirements. I am dissolving Parliament and calling new elections." Great outcry from Gough Whitlam, the Labour Prime Minister, and the left, saying that this was unconstitutional and that democracy meant that once you're in power, you could do what you like. Well, of course, that's not the case in any of the parliamentary democracies in the Commonwealth, including the Solomons. So it's quite clear that we could see the Governor General of the Solomons rule against Prime Minister Sogavare, and he would, at that point, clearly resist. But that would in turn trigger a lot of opposition, particularly in the Malaita province, where they are implacably against both him and his deal with the People's Republic of China and in favor of restoring diplomatic relations with the Republic of China, Taiwan.
The puzzle then, going forward, given these complications, I want to be specific. What does this mean for the new government in Canberra? I note the report is that the U.S. Embassy in Australia said that Sogavare or his government has imposed a moratorium on naval visits. That would include Australia, I can presume. So Prime Minister Albanese, is he answering this confrontationally? Is he seeking diplomatic resolution? How is he handling this?
Well, he came out very strongly, along with the Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, in favor of reasserting Australian influence into the region and particularly into the Solomon Islands. However, there's been no strong response to this ban on foreign naval visits, which presumably includes People's Liberation Army Navy ships from the People's Republic of China. Certainly has included U.S. Coast Guard vessels, except for the hospital ship Mercy, and it did include HMS Spey, this very large offshore patrol vessel, which is now really pushing the flag into the South Pacific Islands. And that's going to be interesting, but Australia hasn't put it to the test yet. And to some degree, Sogavare knows that he can count on the Australian and New Zealand governments to stabilize his country in the event of armed unrest, particularly coming out of Malaita province. So it saved him once before when riots basically attacked his campaign headquarters and the like, and he was under threat. Even then, even though the Australian government was not entirely happy with this, both the Australians and New Zealanders did put in forces to bring calm back to the city, to the capital, and to the countryside. So it's difficult for him.
Oceania, all these islands, the Pacific Islands, Micronesia, Malaysia, all stretching across, are part of the contest, if I understand correctly, Gregory. And the Solomon Islands we've seized on because there's a push and pull going on between large states. Would you say right now that China is acting confidently, that it can use the money wedge between Australia and New Zealand and its neighbors in the South Pacific? I'll start there. Is China yes. have the upper hand?
China temporarily has the upper hand, but knows it's a fragile situation. They know, the PRC knows that that internal dynamics could change the situation against Sogavare. Bear in mind that Sogavare literally bought and paid for just enough politicians to change the diplomatic status of the Solomons with regard to the two Chinas. And it could easily sway the other way. Particularly if there's enough public unrest. So the PRC is cautious about what to do. And I think that's why they actually put their naval intelligence gathering vessel into the Hambantota, the port in Sri Lanka recently, to really test whether they could get away with just going into a port in the region uninvited and literally unwanted, bearing in mind that the Solomon's government, the Sri Lankan government had rejected China's attempts to use the port of Hambantota to put its naval vessel in, and the Indian government protested very, very strongly. The PLA Navy prevailed on that one, and so I think there'd be some attempts that Beijing would use to rationalize a naval presence in the Solomon Islands, but that alone would be very, very provocative and delicate, and I think would inflame domestic protest as well. So basically, China has got a window of opportunity to consolidate its position and to see Sogavare prevail in the election delay and in the control of the country. And if Sogavare can prevail, then they'll be relatively safe by late 2023. But in the meantime, it's really touch and go for both Sogavare and the People's Republic of China.
I'm speaking with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to turn to what does this mean for Europe? Yes, Europe's involved here in London. And what does it mean for the United States? This vast canvas, this contest across the Indo-Pacific. I'm John Bash.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Four seasons greetings to you all from